The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel passage from Mark continues to progress as Jesus, in the last several weeks, was on the way to Jerusalem and teaching his disciples how to be a disciple. Today, he has entered into Jerusalem, and he has already had many confrontations with the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And there is a real battle going on. But then comes today's passage, and it's different. A scribe, one of the ones that's been in contention with him, comes forward and asks him a very legitimate question. The other ones were traps. This was discussed amongst the people. You know, there were 613 laws in the Torah. And it was often debated, what's the principle? What's the one or two laws that sums them all up? And so it's a legitimate question, and Jesus answers. And his answer, the first part of it, as you know, is called the Shema, or the Shema. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, that God is one. Our Lord God, Yahweh, is God alone. That doesn't sound like much to us, but that is huge in the time of Jesus, because Judaism lived in a world with polytheism, right? Yahweh was considered amongst the world one of many gods, and people would be in competition with one another, their God against our God. And when their God against our God are in battle, so too is one people against another people. And so to say that those other gods don't exist and that Yahweh is the one God is a huge statement, because we can then no longer see the others as different. Because if we have one Father, one God who created all, that has total claim on us. And we have no other choice if we're going to be in relationship with that God to give our total life. Everything we have comes from that God, and everything that is comes from that God. And so we can't help but to love one another if we truly love that God and recognize there is only one. And it isn't us against them. We're not divided, but we are one. And so, we don't believe in polytheism today, do we? But perhaps we still live like we do have many gods? Are we not divided amongst ourselves? We have many loves, and they're in competition. Love of pleasure, love of a good time, love of self, love of money, love of power, etc. All competing, dividing our heart. Our strength, our soul is divided. For the Jewish people, that meant really our time, what we do with our life. We're divided amongst our many responsibilities, very legitimate, good things, family, work, but also things that really might not be that good. Our video games, our TV watching, our shopping, etc. We are divided. We live like we have many gods. And so, Jesus' answer to this scribe is powerful. He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. What's going on? Since we're divided, sometimes we are not far from the kingdom of God, which means we're not fully in the kingdom of God. You see, we can't love God and love others by our own power. It isn't a matter of just knowing it in our minds. We have to know it in our heart. We have to live it. We have to know it with our entire being, our strength, and our soul. To love God is impossible unless we recognize God's love for us first. Love is by definition a two-way dialogue, and our love of God is a response to God's love for us. That is something known not only in the mind, but in our total being. Something that is not theoretically known, but experiential. Something that transforms us to be able to love God and others. And this scribe's response is that to love God and love others is better than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. They're standing in Jerusalem, the center of the cult of animal sacrifices, of which Jesus was going to end. The one sacrifice of God's love for us, shown most completely, and giving to us most effectively. His statement is a prophecy that God would so love the world that he would send his son to die for us, to show us the extent of that love, and in his resurrection to show us the power of that love, and in his sending of the Spirit and instituting this sacrament, the communication of that love to us. And so, how about you? Although we may believe in our minds in one God, Jesus Christ, and know that everything should be focused on him, our highest priority, do we not instead look at our lives, the fruit of our lives, and find we are divided amongst ourselves, at war with ourselves, failure to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves, judging ourselves, our passions at war with one another? We are not yet in the kingdom of God, perhaps, but we are not far away either. Or perhaps we are still searching to know God's transforming love in an experiential way that really does put the supernatural power of God's love in us. Romans 5:5, may the love of God be poured in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe there's simply parts of us that we still haven't let the light of God's love to heal and transform. Maybe there's parts of our lives that we still hide from others, or are wounded and hurt and hide from God. Let God's love in. And perhaps we find ourselves divided with one another, family members, people in the world. We are not yet members of the kingdom of God, but the good news is we are not far away, because his love is right here for us today on the altar in this Eucharist. His true presence, his love given and communicated to us. And so, I invite you, as you come forward for the Eucharist, to say, I'm sorry to God for the times that we failed to love him above all things and to love one another and love all his creation. To ask him that the power of that love may grow in all areas of our lives, body, soul, spirit, and transform it so that we may then love others and love God. And then let us give God thanks. Eucharist. That's the meaning of the word.